And so as I'm listening to this, I'm writing down the notes, I started seeing people instead of house. I started seeing people who once were filled with the glory of the Lord, the presence of God. There was life in that house, and in these people, there was life in them. And for a long time, they would rejoice and be glad, and there'd be joy. They'd be dancing, they'd be singing, they'd be praising, they'd be doing. And now? And as I wrote, and I put a title of it, A Life in Despair or Disrepair. A house that needed to be repaired. Is it too late for that house? No. But it's going to take a lot more effort and cost. Would somebody please deal with this thing? Or give me the hand mic. I'll turn this stupid thing off.
My hands. I can't use my hands when I got to hold it up here, but praise God. Amen. So, as I thought about it, he said, you know, it would have been much better if they kept upkeep that house, if they kept it up while they lived there. I've got signs over here that says, don't quit. Never quit. God said, when they back off, he said, I have no joy in them. I have nothing in them when they start backing off from what God wants for them. Is it too late to... No, but it's much more costly to repair the house than it is to keep it up. It's much more difficult and it takes a much longer time to repair a broken down house than as if they kept up the repairs as they went along. And he said, that's the same as my kids, same as my people. The more you allow disrepair to come into your life, because remember this, it's revealed. Now, listen, you can go to that house and you can look at the outside and see all the problems, not all the problems, but many of the problems with that house from outside. You don't need to go inside. A lot of people's lives are reflected. From the inside. You understand what I'm saying to you? The inside, if it had been kept up, the outside wouldn't look like it does. You understand? There's lives out there, people, Christians, whose outside their life is miserable. Oh, they get something a little bit here and a little bit there. But overall, the joy of the Lord isn't in there. And because you miss that, everything on the outside of your life becomes affected by it. He said, when we start seeing some disrepair in our life, we need to figure out why we're having problems. Let me read what I wrote down. At one time, the house was a beautiful home, a place of laughter, a place that was inviting, a place of comfort, a place of peace. This was a house where the word of the God was spoken and believed. But as time went on, there was neglect of upkeep. You know why I raise my hands? Nobody tells me to do it. When I get in the presence of God, and I do it in the shower, I'll do it in my home, I'll do it in the car, my hand goes up when I'm in his presence. What is it? It's a form of worship and surrender. And I say, Lord, not my will, your will be done. To be in his presence. Listen to me. The worst thing you can have is have a head knowledge of God without the very presence of God. That is the worst thing any Christian can have. Well, you say, well, it can't be. I believe they can be. They can be saved without still having that presence, walking with them on a daily basis, and being encouraged by him, speaking to him, talking to you. When you sit, and that's what he said. When he started talking to me about the house, God started talking to me about his people. We said it this morning. We're in here in prayer. God gave a wonderful word to those in prayer this morning. Wonderful word, in my estimation, anyways. That wasn't from me. I don't do those things normally. I just do what God tells me to do, say what God tells me to say. But I only can get in, that's when I'm in his presence. Can I still be saved and walk without his presence? Sure. But everything else around me seems to start falling apart. And all of a sudden, the shingles start falling off the roof. The siding comes off the side of the building. Pretty soon, no more is there laughter in here. But all there is fear and pain, wondering where God is in all of this. Where's God in this? All of a sudden, we can't believe what he says anymore. We start looking for things outside to fill the place where he once was filling. And a house can't be alive. You know it as well as I do. You take a house without life in it for a while, everything inside starts going too. But it usually starts in the inside and works its way outward. It doesn't start outwardly. And when that emptiness is empty, everything is affected by it. It takes time. You walk by. You ever go to these places that are always up for... Bank's got a hold of them, and they've been empty for a year. Not pretty. God is saying to us, be careful. In Proverbs 6, he talks about slumbering. He said, a little slumber, a little sleep. Well, let me read it to you. Listen to this. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. We set aside God. We set aside the presence of God. How do we set aside the presence of God? The first thing we do, we get out of the Word. Second thing you get, out of prayer. Third thing that happens is you get out of fellowship. Now, all this doesn't happen overnight. All of this doesn't just happen, you know, quickly like this. Over a period of time, you watch slowly but surely they're missing a Wednesday, then they start missing a Sunday, and then they miss a this, a little of this, a little of this. It's not the saying that you've got to be in church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But there is something about fellowship that God speaks about, especially in these last days. Why? Because, and I know, I want to say the right thing, I don't say this often. People don't believe there's pastors that God placed there for a purpose. I don't know what you'd think about this, but I'll tell you something. I'm not here because I chose to be a pastor in my life. I had no desire to be a pastor. I never even had a thought of being a pastor growing up. I was 35, 33 years old before I even considered stepping out into pastor. God told me 10 years before I stepped out to be a pastor. He told me 10 years of worship service. He told me, just as if I'm speaking right now, he said, I've called you to be a pastor. And you know the story from there. I'm not going through the whole thing. What I'm saying to you is this. There's a reason God places people to teach and preach. I don't do it out of my own wisdom. I don't do it out of my own knowledge. I trust that I hear from God, and I bring you what I hear. This wasn't a message I had. This happened just before service. I had a great message, or I thought it was. Anyways, and maybe it still will be given. Maybe it will. Not today, but another day. But God told me, and I really believe with all my heart, he said there's a lot of houses in disrepair because there's no life in them. You can have a lamp, but it doesn't have to be lit. And it produces no light just because you got a lamp. The scriptures talk about, Jesus said it in Revelation, remember the seven churches? I'll take your lampstand from you. What's he saying? I'm taking your light. You don't want to get to that place where there's no more light. You don't want to get to a place where you don't care if you're in the presence of Jesus or not. You don't want to go there. And if you're going there or you're there, repent quickly and get back. If you're living a life that just sounds like it's Christian, looks like a Christian, but inside there's dead man's bones. He called it white-walled sepulchres filled with dead man's bones. Get awake. Wake up. I'm not telling who it is or not. I don't know. I don't know. I could be one of them for all you know. And I have to stand before Jesus. I have to give an account. But I'll tell you something. Without his presence, there's no reason of doing what we're doing. There's no reason to follow God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit if there is no life in you. I agree with you. I wouldn't be in this building either. I sit home. Just as comfort. I got things I could do. Take my wife to Florida for a month or two. Or someplace, anyplace. I'm serious. If it didn't matter. But if you have him, if he has you, how bright is the light in you? Can someone walk by that house and say, there, I see the light in there? That light is Jesus. That light. Is it there a light in there? Only you know. Only you know. But if the light isn't there, then the life is not there. How do we get the life back in there? How do we get the life back in there? Repent first. No, wait a minute. Stop. Recognize it. Admit it to God. You don't have to admit it to man. You don't have to say a word to man anyplace. You just go to your heavenly Father and say, Father, I don't have that light like I once had. I'm not where I was. Help me. Help me to come back. God loves it when you ask him for help. God loves it when you finally admit to yourself and to him, it's not like it was. I've told you the story about the gentleman in the church when he looked at me one day. He said, when you get older, you won't be as on fire for God as you were young. He said, you'll be tired of it and just sit around like a lump on a log. And I said to myself, I said, Diane, I hope that's never me. By the grace of God, it isn't. I love him more today than I've ever loved him before. I want more to be in his presence than ever before. Do I still mess up? Yes. I did yesterday. I do it too much. But I go back to him, I repent of it, I confess it, I say, Lord, help me. The spirit is willing, but the flesh at times is weak. And it's going to be that way. Don't ever think you're so good or so great or you've achieved some great power or authority that says that you won't sin. You will. But confess it quickly. He's faithful to forgive you. Get on with your walk. But don't stand and, yes, Lord. He said, the problem is you get used to the dark. You get used to seeing things through a shadow rather than with clear eyes. It's amazing when someone's eyesight is going, and it was for me anyways, and I remember that day I got my glasses. I could actually see things like I was supposed to. I didn't know I wasn't seeing things the way I should. I thought that was normal. You'll begin to think it's normal to see things out of the shadows. You know, that bright light that used to be in you or around you or with you isn't there anymore. You get used to the darkness until the light comes on again. Then you realize how far away you were. Now, I'm not saying anybody in this, but this may not be for anybody here. Maybe it's for somebody you know. I don't know. But we have to recognize if their light isn't as bright as it was, then we're not in the presence of God the way we were. And the only way we can get that light in that, excuse me, I want to say it the right way. The only way we can get the life the way we'd like to have it, with the brightness of the sun shining in it and out of it, is about bringing life back in to that place. How do we get there? The scripture is very clear about that. It said, in the word of God there is life. We need to understand the word of God. Most people, when they start going and the light becomes dim, it's because they haven't spent time in the word. Many of them will build images of God out of their own emotions and feelings and thoughts and cares. And when that emotion betrays them because it becomes something else or changes the next day, then their image of God is changed. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, the word will produce an image of God, and it'll never change that image. He's my healer. He's my healer. That'll never change because I've saw it through the life and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the word. You understand? When you believe that he is your healer and you get prayer and it doesn't happen the way you want it to happen, your emotions start coming in control, if they come in control, and then the image of him being your healer is changed. That's why God said, when you ask, stand praying, believe you have what you ask for. You shall receive it. But when there's double-mindedness, doubt, unbelief, little faith, when all that stuff is operating in your life, and you go for prayer, you get prayer, you walk away, and you start confessing it didn't work because it didn't feel it, your image of the healer changes. Could be for your provider. He could be your peace, Jehovah Shalom. He's the peace that passes understanding. He could be your sanctifier, Jehovah Sitkanu, your righteousness. All of a sudden, when these things are going on in your life and when you're living by your emotions or feelings or what you see or what you think, God changes. The light gets dimmer. The life starts slowly eking out. Pretty soon you're in a boat saying, Lord, don't you care that we're drowning? And we're sitting there. The house is becoming emptier. Things are happening outside of our lives that we have no control over. Now we look and sound and act just like the rest of the world out there. Something's different. Something changed. We know that the word of God is our manna, correct? You know what manna is? It means thing. When the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, they complained because they had no food. So God says, okay, I will feed you. So he fed them with manna from heaven, which really means thing because they didn't understand what it was. They would go out, and every morning they'd pick the manna off the grass or off the bushes, wherever it landed. As they said, it looked like coriander seed. Now, the one instruction God gave them about receiving the blessing is make sure you pick it every day. Don't try to store it up because it's going to turn rotten overnight. Just pick enough that it'll satisfy your need. So they went out, and the first thing they did was pick a whole bunch and put it in jars and thinking that they don't have to go out the next morning and do it. You know, I got enough of the word. I don't need any more. It turned rotten, just as God said. When we depend on yesterday's manna, we will have yesterday's faith. We need to get manna every day. How much do I need? I don't know. What's going on in your life? That'll tell you how much you need. If you're going through a battle, if you're sick, if you're going through a battle financially, whatever it is, my goodness, I would get enough of the manna that brought life to me to fix what the problem is. Unless we don't believe that God's word is true. If we really don't believe it works, just as he said it would, then probably we wouldn't do it. It doesn't mean you're not saved, but you'll be saved as if through fire. Because in this life, whether you want to believe it or not, storms are coming. We'll go through a time period when it seems to be, quiet and peaceful, and praise God. We thank him for those days. We thank him for those years, hopefully. But I don't know anybody yet, anybody who hasn't experienced a storm. Some of you are in them right now. But God is not a liar. How bright is the light? How much life is in the house? How much life is in the house? Are you living on yesterday's manna? We have to ask ourselves those things. Remember what the Word of God says. In the Word is a seed. Amen? Mark 4, remember that? The Word is a seed. In every seed, there is life. Every seed has life in it. When you plant that seed into good ground, it will produce the life that the seed intended to produce. Amen? If you got a seed for corn, if it's a kernel of corn, whatever it is, you put it in the ground, good ground, make sure it's watered, and the sun is there to get to it, it will produce life. And you know what it does? It produces abundant life because it produces more seed than the single one you put in the ground. God's word promises that he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or hope for. In other words, when you start planting seed into your heart, and I'm talking about seriously, not just offhand, I'll throw it and scatter it all over the ground. I'll just throw a little bit out there. No. Remember what I said. Every day you need fresh manna. That's called watering the seed. You water it every day by speaking it out loud. Because first of all, you recognize the life that God promised me isn't in there. The house is becoming in disrepair. I'm having financial problems. I'm having health problems. My mind is not at peace. I have no joy in my heart. There's disrepair coming to the house that is supposed to have life in it. But if the life is not in there and the life is in the seed and the seed hasn't been planted, guess what? It's sooner or later, it is going to become desolate and disrepair. It's a fact of life, my friends. It doesn't just happen just once in a while to somebody. It happens to all of us if we do that. You take that seed that has life in it, and the Bible tells us that every seed produces after its kind. So if the word and the promise that God has given to us is concerning finances, you can grab financial seed. Place it into the heart. Remember what the Bible tells us. All good things come from where? Above. That means it comes out of the Spirit of God. So when the seed is put into the heart, on a daily basis, the Holy Spirit of God starts producing out of that nothing into something. And if you continue in it, it'll keep producing and producing and producing and producing. Pretty soon, your vats will be overflowing. You'll have so much you won't know what to do with. And you'll sit back and go, what happened? I didn't even know how this could possibly work. But it does. It does work. But you cannot just ignore it. You can't pretend, well, I did it and it didn't work. No. You planted something in the soil and left it there and it didn't produce because you didn't take care of it. How do you take care of it? Every day going and water that thing. Speak to it. Call it forth. And then all of a sudden you'll start seeing little bits of it. It'll come just a little. Oh, man, look at that. I got a little bit left this month. But God isn't trying to get you just a little bit more. He wants a full harvest in your life. He wants the fullness of the life of God in here, in your life. He wants the fullness of it, not just a little bit. Because when you start planting the seed and you start seeing prosperity come your way, all of a sudden you'll say, well, if it works for that, will it work for my health? I told you before, man, you grab a hold of that seed. I speak to every cell in my body every morning. I tell it what to do. I speak the blood of Jesus Christ flowing through my veins. I got the blood. I speak to my cell. I tell them, attack every sickness and disease in my body and destroy it. I tell it what to do. How can you tell it what to do? Because Jesus talked to the tree. He talked to the storm. I can talk to my cells. This is only the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is not who I am. Who I am dwells in this mortal body. And I know this. All I have to do is get close to Jesus and I'll be healed. How do I get close to Jesus? The Word. How I get close to Jesus? Prayer. How do I get close to Jesus? Praise and worship. How do I get close to Jesus? I get around you guys. Amen? You are the body of Christ. Remember what I said. A house becomes in disrepair when the body is no longer in the house. The person, the life is no longer in the house. When you're not around the body, you're no longer with the body. What happens? Cut off your finger, see what happens. Right? Cut off your foot and see what happens. Because some of you are meant to be feet, some of your little toes, some of your ears. Well, not ears. Jesus is the head. Amen? There is with his ears. Now listen, God wants you to know that just because where you're at doesn't mean where you have to stay. If the house is in disrepair, joy isn't there. If the desire to dance isn't there when you're in the presence, when he says, come dance with me. I should have done it. I almost just went up and just started dancing with him. I could dance with him all day long. I can dance with him and my wife. But I'll tell you what. If I dance with him, dancing with my wife, it's a lot better. No, you don't get what I'm saying. The more time I spend with him, the better I spend time that I spend with you is better. You understand? Because when I dance with him, you know what he's doing? He's whispering in my ear how much he loves me. He's whispering in my ear how to get closer to him, how to be, not just be with him, but to be like him. And when you're like him, the life that's in you is so bright. And that life starts producing and redirecting and reestablishing and reproducing. Pretty soon, the hair starts turning brown again. Amen? All of a sudden, and this is my prayer every morning, Lord, you renew my youth as an eagle's. I am not going gracefully old. I'm 71 years old next month. I'm not going gracefully old. I'm going to stay with Jesus. For in him there is life. And that life is the light of men. So once that house, and trust me, I've let it get in disrepair at times. I'm still struggling at times. Some things need to be fixing, and he's slowly but surely. But it's only in his presence. Only when the word of God is spoken and received all of a sudden the house starts coming back to what it was. That life is in you. But it can only stay that life when you feed that life with life. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the Word, there's life. In you, there's life. Jesus said it this way. If you abide in me, and my Word abides in you, that Word has to be alive in you. Working, 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 working. His promise is yea and amen. He will not lie to you. I listened the other day, and what struck me too was Deanna said, I'm happy. I got to a place of joy. How did she get there? Through Christ. You got to stay close to him to keep it. You can't keep getting farther away and thinking, we heard last week when Brenda got up. 3 years ago, she's ready to commit suicide. She was miserable. Everything was going wrong in her life. Everything changed. She couldn't figure out how it did it. She didn't even know how it got done. All she knew, all of a sudden, something changed. She'd been feeding her life with life. And it started producing that which she desired the most. Peace, joy, strength, healings. God's word is true. Amen? So look at your house. Oh boy, you guys got it early today. I'm not going to start the next message. You're getting early. See, I only bring what God tells me to bring. I don't need to keep you here longer than what he tells me to tell you. This isn't about how long we sit here. It's about what we get. Amen? It's the life that we're drawing out of him. Now, if you're happy with your life, if you like exactly the way it is, and you don't want better, if you've got all the peace you need, if you've got all the joy you need, if you've got all the love you need, all the presence of God that you need, then fine. Praise God. I pray for you. I hope you do. I don't. I am not satisfied. Do I think my life is good? Yeah. God has blessed me. He has blessed me so much. I can't tell you how much he's blessed me, but I'm going to tell you what, it's not enough just to be blessed by God. I don't care if he does every miracle, every sign, every wonder. It's not enough if I don't have the very presence of God with me and in me. Because this house becomes in disrepair when the life of God is being missing. And remember what I told you, that life doesn't just disappear. Slowly but surely. It just starts slowly but surely ebbing out. And we're not replacing it. We're not replacing it. We're allowing it to go. We're thinking it doesn't matter. But eventually it will. Amen? Hallelujah. So what do? Examine yourself. Are you where you want to be? If you are content where you're at, praise God. Are you the one that's sitting there in a little slumber, a little sleep, putting your feet up, resting, getting on the internet, getting into watching TV, getting in your whatevers, tablets, and doing all that, and just sitting there comfortable, playing games and doing this and doing that? If that's you, it's time to get back. Some of you might have got to a place of doubt and unbelief. You started to get to a place, you started walking with the Lord, and all of a sudden something popped up, and you thought, wait a minute, this isn't, how could this happen to me? Listen to me. All of us have things. Been there, done that. I've experienced. You know my story, and I'm not going to go through all that again. I could have sat back and said, why? I have learned it's better to be in his presence and stay in his presence than to have everything out here the way I want it. When those disciples walked with Jesus, they walked with him personally, not like us with the Holy Spirit, and praise God for that. Praise God when you can get into his presence, but they walked with him personally. And they didn't have such a good time all the time. Guess what? They didn't have a car. They walked every place. Amen? They walked when it was cold out. They didn't have it so nice. They didn't always have enough food to eat. Amen? So just know that walking with him in a personal way like that, where you actually stand with him in his presence down here, wouldn't have been all that great. That's why he said, it's better that I go home to be with the Father. Then I can send another helper for you. I can send somebody who can be with all of you all at the same time, who can take care of you. All your needs can be met at the same time. Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong. I believe with all my heart, if you get sick, come and call on the elders of the church. Let them pray the prayer of faith over you, anoint you with oil. Amen? That's what God says. But I bet it's better to walk in divine health. You need your needs met. There's nothing wrong with the body of Christ looking at someone, seeing somebody, they got a need, and we got the wherewithal to help meet their need. Then we should help them. But how would you rather walk having excessively, exceedingly abundantly above all you ever ask for or need? How would you like that life? You can either get your needs met or you can live in a higher plane with Christ. Does that mean you're going to have everything you want and do everything you want? No. He said if you're going to ask, don't ask selfishly. The reason you don't have is because you didn't ask. And when you ask amiss. You ask out of your selfish desires. But when you say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of just making it and getting by, and I can't serve you the way you want me to serve you because I'm always serving manna, trying to get enough to get enough. God doesn't want that in your life. He wants you to live free of care and worry about finances. And you can't just say, well, I'm just not going to worry about it. Baloney. When the bill comes, you got to pay it and you don't have it. You can say, I'm not going to worry about it. They'll come and take whatever their bill is for. Well, God will take care of it. No. How are you going to have it? The very presence and the word and the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God is operating in your life, and he's going to cut off that thing before it even gets to your doorstep. He's going to make you sure you have enough, more than enough, to meet your need so you can help others. You can further the kingdom of God. Can you enjoy it and go on vacations and do things? Yes, God wants you to have fun. He doesn't want this to become a burden. He doesn't want you to live a burdened life. He doesn't want you to have to sit there and wait for somebody to come by. No. He said, I'll take you. I'll show you. I'll lead you. I'll take you. Amen? All right. Now I'm done. Let's pray. Father, I believe that what you gave me, I hope and I pray that I've gave it all. Just you instructed me to do. We're reminded, Father, of Jesus when he would go up on the mountain at times. And there was one time it says that he spoke to the people for 3 days. And nobody left. And then he fed them. Food. Well, Lord, we thank you. It's not the time we spend here together. It's the time we spend with you. It truly matters. Time we spend in your word, confessing and believing and receiving. Is it time, Lord God, that we declare and speak life? Help us, Lord. Father, I pray now, and I really do this, ask this, Father, for those who've never tasted of the goodness of God or the very presence of God, I pray now, Father, in Jesus' name, meet them right where they're at. Jesus, bring divine wisdom and revelation to them in the knowledge of you. Help them, Father. Let them taste the goodness of God. Let them taste the very presence of God, that they would know there is a God. And that he's not sitting some place far off, but he's right there with them. I pray for the life and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to shine brightly in each one of these tabernacles, each one of these lives, Father, filled with life and light. For you are the God of light. You are the God of life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Why don't we take up our offering first, and then, Diane, you have a few announcements. Hallelujah.